Sanhedrin, no?
Okay, tonight I'd like to discuss the Inyan of Simchas Yom Tov as it pertains to Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is a very confusing Yom Tov. It's the Yom Tov that on the one hand is obviously extremely serious, and as I keep saying, and I will keep on saying, we always have to remember how much is at stake on Rosh Hashanah, how much is decided on those few days of the year, and how much we have to put into it to make sure that the decisions that the Rosh Hashanah makes are favorable for Klal Yisrael. But in addition to that, it's also a Yantif. And as a Yantif, one would assume that there's an Indian of Simcha. So exactly how one is supposed to approach Rosh Hashanah is it's a pretty fascinating topic with a lot of spheres all over the place. So what I'm going to try to do is, in the first half of the share, present the Indian with one basic machlokes in Rishonim of Simchas Yom Tov in general. And then in the second half of the share, explore specifically by Rosh Hashanah, which elements of Rosh Hashanah contain an element of Simchas Yom Tov, and which parts of Rosh Hashanah seem to shy away from Simchas Yom Tov and put more of a stress on the din. And then at the end, we'll try to be miyashed how we're supposed to make peace with these conflicting elements of the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. So whenever you talk about Simchas Yom Tov, the first thing you have to look at always is Pesach and Daf Kuf Tet. The Gemara discusses Pesach and Daf Kuf Tet in source number one. Hanar Avanu to Baisa, Chayiv Adam Mesameach, Banu Bnei Baisa Borevel. A person has to be Mesameach, his family and Yom Tov. Shenem HaVisamach to B'Chagetha. Now, men Mesamchon, how is one Mesameach his family? So B'Yayin, he should do it with wine. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda said, no, not only with wine, Anashim B'Roi Lahem, V'Nashim B'Roi Lahem. Men with what is appropriate for men, women with what's appropriate for women, meaning Anashim B'Roi Lahem B'Yayin, men happen to enjoy wine, so men should drink wine for Simchas Yom Tov. V'Nashim B'Zmai, Tanya Filti, the Bavo, the Big Day Tzavonim, the Eretz Yishov, the Big Day Tishton Nigoatim. In the different places, whatever the most stylish and nicest clothing are in that particular place, that's what we're Mesameach women with on Yom Tov. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira Omer, key line, this month, Shabbat HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beit HaMikdash was around, ate Simcha Ela Bevasa. So Simcha was fulfilled specifically by eating meat. Not just any meat, Shenemar, Pasuk says, V'zavakta Shlomim V'yachalta Sham, V'samachta L'Fnei Hashem L'Fnei. Specifically, the Basar of Karbanos is the Basar that one eats to fulfill the mitzvah of Simcha Yom Tov. The Akshav She'en Beit HaMikdash Kayam, now we don't have the Beit HaMikdash, ate Simcha Ela B'yayim. So the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is fulfilled through drinking of wine, or, as the Gemara said earlier, whatever makes people happy. Now, what's the pasuk we quote to provide a proof for this? Shenemar pasuk in Tehillim, V'yayin yisamach levavanos. Now, the pasuk in Tehillim does not reflect a chiyuv of Simchas Yom Tov. The pasuk in Tehillim only says that yayin is misameach. The pasuk that we quoted to back up the idea of Basar being in misameach is a very clear pasuk about Simcha when it comes to Yom Tov, right? It's the carbonos that you bring when you're over the regal, the Samachal of Neshanul Kecha. That's very clearly the mitzvah of Simcha as we know it. The pasuk that we're quoting when it comes to the context of Yayin is a much weaker pasuk in terms of calling up a chiyuv of Simcha, because all the pasuk is telling us is that Yayin happens to be something that is Misameach. So that may be crucial as we proceed. But one thing that's very clear from the Gemara is certainly it's not Beit HaMikdash, the Chiyuv of Simcha was with Karbanos. And that reflects the idea of Simcha in Judaism is obviously, or maybe it's not so obvious, the Rav writes this in many places, or is quoted as saying this in many of the different Sfarim. In the Shurim Zeich Rav Amari, he mentions it in one of the Yartzeit Shurim, I believe it's in Allah Shulva, and a number of different Sfarim that are written with the Rav's Torahs, and the Rav pointed out that the definition of Simcha in general when it comes to Judaism is being with Nei Hashem. The closer we are to the Ribbono Shel, the more Misameach we are, the more we have, the more we're able to experience a level of Simcha. So there's no greater moment of Nei Hashem than bringing the Karban to the Ribbono Shel. When we bring the Karban to God, so that's when we feel this closeness with God, and that's when we experience that Simcha. The Rav makes the negative equation as well, and he says, if Simcha equals L'fnei Hashem, Avelus equals not L'fnei Hashem. Avelus equals as if the Ribbono Shel has turned his back on us a little bit. A sense of Avelus is the exact opposite of a sense of Simcha, and Simcha is L'fnei Hashem. Avelus is being feeling distant from Hashem. And that's the Gemara Malkata and Dr. Dalin, this idea of Simcha being connected to Karbanos, which means being with Hashem, is reflected in the Gemara Moed Katan. The Gemara tells us that Kohen Gadol, the Kol Hashana, can regulate Kulei Alma Dami. The Kohen Gadol throughout the year is like a regular Jew is on Yantif. What does that mean? A regular Jew on Yantif has a mitzvah of Simcha. He's a regular Jew on Yantif, he's a Ola Lerego, and he's standing with Hashem. So he's experiencing Simcha. The Kohen Gadol throughout the year is Lefnei Hashem. That's his job. He's in the Mikdash, and he's constantly Lefnei Hashem. So his Simcha is there Lefnei Hashem. And the Gemara says in the Moed Katan, in the context of, it says that this Nam, we learned in the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol makriv omein ve'in ochel. That a Kohen Gadol carries on with his obligations and sort of ignores the chiyuvim of Avelus in a sense, because he can't have Avelus because his whole life is Lefnei Hashem. There's no room for Avelus when you're a Kohen Gadol. Just like in Yisrael, on Yantif, the Yantif is built for the Avelus, because there isn't room for both the Avelus and the Simcha, so the Yantif is built for the Avelus. The Kohen Gadol, throughout the year, there's no room for a true, genuine sense of Avelus, because he's constantly Lefnei Hashem. And this is also, as the Rav pointed out, reflected very beautifully in a comment that the Rambam has. The Rambam looks quiet of all places. And he talks about the halakha of wearing shakness. So we know that there is, we know probably one of the source of Asei Docha Lo Tasei is the idea that we have a klayim in tzitzis and in the Big Dekuna, that shakness, the mitzvah of Big Dekuna, the mitzvah of tzitzis, is Docha the Yisr of shakness. Now Big Dekuna is Docha the Yisr of shakness. That's what's important to us in terms of this Rambam. So the question is, when is Big Dekuna Docha the mitzvah of shakness? The point is the mitzvah to be wearing the Big Dekuna. So this mitzvah, specifically while he's engaged in Avoda, he's getting the mitzvah of the Big Dekuna. That's when he's allowed to wear the Big Dekuna. He doesn't have to worry about the shakness that's contained therein. But what if he's taking a break and he's not doing the Avoda? Can he keep on his Big Dekuna for a little while and not have to worry about the issue of shakness? Because after all, it's the same Big Dekuna that he does the Avoda with. And we say, no, Shalom B'Shas Avoda right away. He has to take off the Big Dekuna. He has no business wearing shakness Shalom B'Shas Avoda. Says the Rambam, Kohanim shalavshu big day kuhuna shalav b'shat avoda. Kohanim, source number three, Kohanim wear the big day kuhuna not during a shat avoda, not while they're doing the avoda, afilu the mikdash, even if they're in the base of mikdash, lo can they get malchus. Why? Mipnei ha'avnei shehu klayim. Because of the avnei that the Kohen wears, which has in it shatness. So he gets malchus for the yisra of shatness, because he's wearing these begotten Shalom b'shat avoda, v'lo hutru bo elo b'shat avoda, she mitzvah sefek etzitzit. And the only time it's mutter for him to be wearing the shatness that's in the avnei is b'shat avoda, because that's when he's getting the mitzvah sefek, and just like tzitzit is the mitzvah sefek, and it's talk of the lo sefek, b'shat avoda, the big day kuhun are a mitzvah sefek, and they're docha, the lo sefek of the shatness. Says the Raavad, you're wrong on two counts, Rambam. He has two titles on the Rambam. Looking at Sagas, the Raavad right there, Kohanim Shalav should be the Kulum Kulei, Omer Avram, Ta'avodah. The Rambam made a mistake over here. Shariyamu v'yuma par dalo, that Kohen Gadol de Mikdash afilu shalom b'shat avodah, Mutter, the Gemara says, that the Mikdash, even when the Kohen Gadol is in the Mikdash, even shalom b'shat avodah, it's Mufurash in the Gemara, that he's allowed to wear the Big Dekuna. How can the Rambam tell me that the Kohen's not allowed to wear the Big Dekuna, Shalom B'Shat Avoda? It's the Mufurash of Gemara that a Kohen Gadol, Shalom B'Shat Avoda, is allowed to wear the Big Dekuna. And that's problem number one with the Rambam. Problem number two, when my Gitamer is saying, Avnei Shul Klayin, the Rambam says, big problem with wearing the Big Dekuna, Shalom B'Shat Avoda, because you're wearing the Avnei, and the Avnei has shotness. That's right. What do you mean? Atu choshen ve'efod milas uklayim. What about choshen ve'efod? They also have shatness. Why is the Rambam picking on specifically the Avnei? There are others who take one of them have shatness. So it's double claim of the Rambam as in the Rambam. First of all, you're wrong about the Ikar Adin that you say that Shalom B'Shat Avodah is Aser, because it's Mefurish that according to Shalom B'Shat Avodah is not Loga, that he's not violating the Yisr of shatness. And second of all, why the specific focus on the Avnei as opposed to the other Big Day Kuhuna that has within it shatness? So the truth is, as you might suspect, when the Rebbe has two kashas on the Ramban, one kasha answers the other. The two kashas are obviously going to, the two kashas are going to answer each other. And the Rebbe explains so beautifully. The Rebbe said, what did we just say? The Kohen Gadol, the Kol Hashana. Kohen Gadol, the Kol Hashana, is like everyone else, the Rebbe. The Kohen Gadol always has a sense of being with Mei Hashem. The Kohen Gadol can't escape his role of with Mei Hashem. No matter what he's doing, whether he's doing avoda or not doing avoda, he's always with Mei Hashem. What does the Gemara say that the Rebbe is quoting? The Gemara says that Kohen Gadol shalom b'shat avoda can wear his begadim and not worry about the shatness, because the Kohen Gadol is always b'shat avoda, even when he's not doing anything. The Kohen Gadol is always in that role of with Mei Hashem. Why does the Rambam, when he talks about the Kohen violating the Yisr Shabbos, the Rambam very clearly is not talking about a Kohen Gadol, he's talking about Kohanim, right? The Rambam says we finished. Kohanim shalom shu b'zekuna, a regular Kohen. How do I know for sure that the Rambam is only talking about a Kohen Hedyot and not a Kohen Gadol? Because there's only one beged of a Kohen Hedyot that contains Shabbos. The only beged that a Kohen Hedyot wears that contains Shabbos is the Atme. The Eifor and the Choshen are unique to the Kohen Gadol. It's so poshut once you see it. I mean, the Kashi Sana Kohen Gadol, the Rav, so brilliantly points out. The Avnet, obviously, is unique to the, is the only one that's not unique to the Kohen Gadol. And the Rambam clearly is saying, the Kohen Hedyot Shalom B'Shat Avoda. Yeah, the Kohen Hedyot Shalom B'Shat Avoda violates the Yisrael Shabbos. And when he's Shalom B'Shat Avoda, he's not with Mei Hashem. He has regular Dinim of Avodos throughout the year, a regular Kohen. It's only the Kohen Gadol who's always in that position of being with Mei Hashem. Whether he's doing the Avoda right now or not doing the Avoda right now, he's always with Mei Hashem. He's always with that Inyan of Simcha. He's always doing his job. He's always on call. It's only him who's allowed to have the Shabbos at all times, even Shalom B'Shat Avoda. And that's what the Gemara was referring to. And the truth is, this is not as great a Kiddush as one might think. It may sound a little strange. Kohen Gadol just being there, standing there, that it's going to work to that. That's called Avoda for him. That's called. But he's doing something. So in addition to the Gemara Moed Katan, which we saw before, that says that the Kohen Gadol, the Shari Mos Hashanah, is like a regular person Berego, there's another riot to this. I remember when I was in 11th grade, the yeshiva was learning Sakas. So I decided I was going to start learning on my own. During my gym period, I took a Santino Gemara before art school, and I used to read through, starting from the fifth paragraph and stuff and stuff. And the fifth paragraph of Mishnah went very nicely, easy paragraph to learn, for if you assume the kids. But we hit the seventh, paragraph, and started talking about Sitz Merakta. And I had no idea what in the world that was talking about. I read the Santino a million times. The concept didn't make sense to me. The Sitz Merakta. But this concept fits very beautifully into this idea. What does tzitz merakta mean? It means the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz on his forehead, doesn't do anything, and it serves for a kapara for Klal Yisrael. It's somehow a return of Hashem. All he's doing is standing there, wearing the begadim. That's all he's doing. And yet it's merakta. Again, underscoring this point, that the Kohen Gadol, even just standing there, being there, is constantly with Hashem. He always has that sense of Avoda, always that sense of Lufnei Hashem, that sense of Simcha throughout the year. This also explains the Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin. I copied two large passages from that Mishnah. The Mishnah Masechta Sanhedrin discusses all the laws of a Kohen Gadol, meaning can you subpoena a Kohen Gadol to court? Can you be made against a Kohen Gadol? All the different laws of a Kohen Gadol, what do you do with his wife when he dies? Khalifa, Yibum, all the issues that come up with the Kohen Gadol. One of the things that it mentions in the second line of source number 4, Mace will Mace. The Kohen Gadol has someone in the family that dies. Eino Yotze Akar Amita. He's not allowed to follow the Mita out. Elahim Mechnasim Vuhu Nidra. He has to sort of hide away from the Mita. He can follow the general path that the Mita is going on, because it used to be that there were no, and still somewhat so, that there were no there were no Bati Kvalos in the city themselves. It would be outside the city, so they would have to carry the mace outside the city to bury him. So the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to follow along to be Malav of the mace. He has to sort of hide out and follow along the path, and just as they turn a corner, so they'll not and almost catch up. And they appear, he covers himself up. He's this cat and mouse game that he plays with the Arum. Imahen, and where does he go? Atetah Sharayir. Until the doorway of Yerushalayim. Bigger and Meir. If Yehuda Meir, he yotze min HaMikdash. And Yehuda says, no, never leaves the Mikdash. Either way, whether he has to stay in Yerushalayim constantly, or he has to stay in the Mikdash constantly, I think the idea behind it is the same. The idea is that he's listening to Hashem, and he's always going to remain listening to Hashem. So that's, again, underscoring that same point again, that is what the Kohen Gadol's job is, that's his role of always being listening to Hashem, and that's why the Kohen Gadol never truly experiences Avelus to the fullest, because he's constantly having that issue, that mitzvah of Simcha. Now, the most fundamental machlokas that appears in Rishonim in relation to the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is machlokas in Rambam and Tosfos. We saw the Gemara in source number one, where the Gemara said that the Gemara should get some Mitzvah Shkayim, a Simcha of the Basar, very clearly talking about the Basar HaKavanos. Nowadays, we don't have a Basar Mitzvah, a Simcha Ella B'Yayin, or with other family members, whatever works for them, whatever makes them happy. Question is, that mitzvah of Simcha we have nowadays, is that a mitzvah of Oraita, or is that a mitzvah of Rabbanon? This mitzvah of Simcha that we still have nowadays without the Kabbalah. So the Rambam in Hilchos with Yom Tov Parivav is pretty clear about this. The Rambam writes, the Rambam says somewhere in Hilchos Yom Tov Parivav, the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of, I didn't put it in here. But trust me when I tell you that the Rambam writes in the Rambam writes in paragraph of the Yom Tov when he discusses the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, and he writes that a Nashim Barayi Lahan, and a person has to be Mishameh at his family, need all right, so it sounds like, whatever, with whatever makes them happy. But on the whole, that Sharon Nishmachos, he says, where the Beis HaMikdash was around, clearly the Basar Karban was where it was supposed to be done. Now we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Sharon Nishmachos, whatever it takes to make people happy, that's the mitzvah of Simcha, and that's the kiyum of the Samach of the Pagyasa. So the Rambam holds is actually a kiyum of Raisa, still a kiyum of Raisa, of Simcha Gyantas. It's not limited to Karbanos. Tosfos, however, when cut and drop the dollar and base, Tosfos writes that it's not so. Tosfos says that without Karbanos, the kiyum of Simcha is only Midrabanon. And the root of this whole machlokas is how to understand a Gemara Maseches Moikatan. The Gemara Maseches Moikatan, Dr. Dalar and Beis, in source number 5, writes, Avel eino noheg abeluso beregel, and Avel doesn't observe abelus and yantif, shenemar, mitzvah to the chaliyachah, because there's a mitzvah of simcha, and again, there you see that conflict between simcha and abelus. Simcha l'fnei Hashem, abelus not l'fnei Hashem. So back to Gemara. If he was an avil before Yom Tov started, so the public mitzvah that applies to all Yisrael of Simcha comes, the Dafi Yasei D'Yachid, and shoves away his own mitzvah, his personal mitzvah of avilus. The avilus tahashtahu, what if the Karov dies on Yom Tov and is buried on Yom Tov, and the avilus begins on Yom Tov, and we'll get to burying on Yom Tov later, but assuming that the karov is the avilus begins on Yom Tov, lo asi asei the yachid, the dafi asei the rabbin. The asei of the yachid, of the avilus that the yachid has, cannot come and be doka, the asei of the rabbin of Simchas Yom Tov. That's the Gemara. Now there's an important element that the Gemara never discusses, that the Gemara doesn't touch. When you're comparing two mitzvahs, and you want to know, which mitzvah should I do? I have one or the other, and one they're in congruence, they can't work together. One has to happen and one can't happen. So what would be the first question you would ask, L'chora? L'chora, the first question you would ask is, well, are both of them mitzvahs d'oraisa? Is one a mitzvah d'oraisa, one a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Right, shouldn't that be in terms of determining the hierarchy of mitzvahs? And what's going to win out before you get to Rabin and Yachid? Meaning that's what Mother is after. You say Rabin and Yachid is going to determine what I choose to, which mitzvah I choose to observe right now. It seems that before we get to Rabin and Yachid, that should be pretty low on the list. We should first discuss the rights of the Rabbanim. So how do we interpret what the Gemara is assuming about these two mitzvahs, the mitzvah of Avelus and the mitzvah of Sukkot Yom Tov, is really the machlokes between the Rambam and Tosfos. The Rambam understands that both mitzvahs are mitzvahs d'oraita. The Rambam is Shitaso, and Hilchos Avelus, Parak Aleph. The Rambam writes that Avelus is d'oraita. It's a big machlokes you're showing. How much of Avelus is d'oraita? Is any of Avelus d'oraita? Shitas the Rambam is that Avelus is d'oraita. So the Rambam holds Avelus is d'oraita. The Gemara doesn't make sense if Simchas Yantif isn't also d'oraita. Because Avelus d'oraita and Simchas Yantif is going to Rabbanon. Forget the Rav and the Yantif. D'oraita is Rabbanon. Of course Avelus should win. If Avelus is d'oraita and Simchas Yantif is only Rabbanon. So the Rambam would hold, Lishitaso, that Simchas Yantif is also d'oraita. And that's what the Rambam writes to the Seirish in Perek Vav Simchas Yantif. Tosfos, on the other hand, holds that no, Avelus is only a mitzvah d'rabbanon. Wait a second. If Avelus is only a mitzvah d'rabbanon in Tosfos' view, then and Simchas Yantif is d'oraita, shouldn't Simchas Yantif automatically knock out the Avelus, forgetting the fact that it's Rabban versus Yantif? Anyway, it should knock it out because it's d'oraita versus d'rabbanon. So Tosfos says, Elamai, you see from here, if you look at Tosfos, source number 6 at the bottom line, that Tosfos, Nira mihu nira li, the Simchas HaRegel mani d'rabbanon. You have to say that Simchas Yantif is manazeh is also only d'rabbanon, just like Avelus is only d'rabbanon. The Samach Ha'ayin of the Shalmei Simchas Yantif v'chagiga. And the whole mitzvah of the Samach Ha'ayin v'chagiga is only with the Karbanos. Absent the Karbanos, we have no mitzvah of Simchas Yantif on a d'oraita level. On a d'rabbanon level we still have, but it's only d'rabbanon. So that's the root of the machlokes, the Rambam and Tosfos. That Gemara, obviously they have to be, the two mitzvahs that are being compared to the Gemara have to be on the same level. Rambam holds they're both mitzvahs d'oraita. Tosfos holds they're both mitzvahs d'rabbanon. Now, the problem is, the nafkamina between them, rather not the problem, the nafkamina between the two shittos is what if you could come up with a situation where the kvura, let's say, were to happen on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, and certainly the mitzvah of Simcha, even if normally the mitzvah of Simcha Yantif is d'oraita, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, the only tradition of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios is only the Rabbanon. Right, so even if you generally hold the mitzvah of Simcha Yantif is d'oraita, on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, the mitzvah of Simcha Yantif is only the Rabbanon. So the Rambam who said that the reason the Aseh the Rabbin of Simchas Yantif beat out the Aseh the Yachid of Avelus was because they're both d'oraitas, but in a Hinami, if one were d'oraita and one were d'rabbanon, forget it, the d'oraita wins. So what would happen on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios? Let's say they bury a mace, they just someone loses a relative and they bury him on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. Right? And that's what the Gemara says you're supposed to do. The Gemara in Sefer Beis, we had in Daf Yomi recently, Chorban Sefer Shabbos as well. Now you're supposed to bury on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, according to the Gemara. Our minhag in most places is not to do that. I think Chassidim, I mentioned in Daf Yomi, do bury it. There was a terrible tragedy a few years ago when people died in some sort of fire in Williamsburg, I think it was. And they did the Kavura. The Chassidim had Goyim doing the Kavura on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, which means the Fi of Avelus should set in on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios. So what do you have then? If the Fi of Avelus on Yom Rishon is d'oraita, and the Simcha of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, by all accounts, can only be d'rabbanon, it can't possibly be d'oraita, because all idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios is d'rabbanon, according to the Rambam, the Avelus should begin on Yom Tov. According to Tosfos, no. Avelus is always d'rabbanon, Simchas Yantif is always d'rabbanon, and Yom Tov Sheni Golios doesn't make a difference, it's d'rabbanon, it's d'rabbanon, it's d'rabbanon, it's not going to matter, and therefore, the Aseh the Rabbin of Simchas Yantif is going to be there, the Aseh the Yachid of Avelus. That would be the nafkamina between the Rambam and Tosfos. Now this happens to be a machlokes on Paskin, the Mechaber Paskin, like we would assume the Rambam would Paskin, which is known as the Shita of the Bahag, right? The Bahag says that someone dies on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, and they bury him on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golios, Enoch Inami, the Avelus d'oraita, beats out the Simcha d'Rabbanan, and you observe Avelus, that's the Shita of the Baha'i, the Chavar Paschal goes there, and I'm a Paschal by Tosfos, that no, but still the Simcha d'Rabbanan, the Mitzvah of the Rabbin, wins that, because it's, they're both d'Rabbanan anyway. The problem with the Shita of the Baha'i, though, is a very well-known Gemara in the Sefer's Prophet. The Gemara, Masechet Brachos is well known for a number of reasons. A, because it has a lot to do with the sugyas of Aseh Dos Halos Aseh and comparing values of mitzvot and the d'oraitas versus the rabbanon. And B, it serves as the only source, or it serves as a perhaps the, one of the only sources that Parshas Parah, Kriya of Parshas Parah, may be a mitzvah d'oraisa. I'll explain why in a second. But look at the Gemara in Brachos, source number 9, Rabbi Yishuv Levi, Tisha Be'eved Mitzvartin. 9 regular Jews and 1 Eved Kanani can be mitzvartin to a minyan, the Gemara says. Meisei Tech the Gemara Kasha, Meisei Rabbi Yazar, Shenichlas Beit HaKnesset, if Lazar once came into the Beit HaKnesset, Velo Matza Asara, and there was not a minyan there. But what did he have? He had a Zechad along with him. He didn't have a minyan, he had 9 Jews, and there were 9 regular Jews, and he had a Zechad. So Vishikar Abdul Vishnu Asara, so how did he make the minyan? He didn't say Tisha Vasar and Spartan, instead he was Meshachar Zechad, he freed his Zechad to include him to the minyan. The fact that Gemara Shikar in, well Shikar low, sounds like had he not freed him, he would not have counted toward the minyan. The Gemara says, okay, so you have to say, Shrei Yitzchisu, Shikar Chad Vinaf Yitzchad, you have to say, you have to say, there must have been 8 regular Jews and 2 of them. So one of them he freed, and that way he had 1 regular Jews, and 1 of them left, and that way he made a minyan. So that's the Yukit that the Gemara makes. But let's focus for a second, what did he do over here? This is our Isa, this is our Isa, whatever you want to call it. The Olam Bahem Ta'avodu, the figures I think at the beginning of the Sefer Sotah discussed, the Shmo Rabbi Kiva, the Olam Bahem Ta'avodu, Rishus, the Olam Bahem Ta'avodu, Rishus, the Mitzvah, it's a big figure at the beginning of the Sefer Sotah. And the Olam Bahem Ta'avodu, the Chiv, not to be an Eved, to always keep an Eved in your servitude, is that a Chiv Dar Isa? And is that a Chiv or is that a Rishus? We're asking, the Olam Bahem Ta'avodu is a Chiv. Right, you have no right, you're not allowed to free an Eved. And this is our right, it's a free an Eved. So what was the balance over here? Correct the Gemara. Hate the Eved Hafi. If it wasn't free an Eved, he violated this is our right, so. Vam Rav Yudha Kol Meshachar Abdo, over by say. You free an Eved, you violate the mitzvah of say. That's your name, the only one to have Odu. It's an Eved our right, so. So the Gemara answers, with Dvar Mitzvah Shaymin. Now you're allowed to free the Eved for Dvar Mitzvah. Then it's okay. Then you're not in violation of the essay. Fact, the Gemara, what do you mean? With Bar Mitzvah Shai? Don't we have such a concept of doing mitzvahs through the vehicle of Avelos? Mitzvah Babaviri. Right? That's what's called Mitzvah Babaviri. You don't say, well, I'm allowed to steal because I'm allowed to steal the Ruven Esau because it was Bar Mitzvah Shai. You say, if I steal the Ruven Esau, I'm not going to miss it because it's Mitzvah Babaviri. Right? So we have to take it. We say, with Bar Mitzvah Shai. What do you mean, Mitzvah Babaviri? Says the Gemara, no. Mitzvah the Rabbin Shai. It's a mitzvah, they needed a minion. All of them needed a minion. Though not the 8 other Jews and 9 other Jews, but they also needed a minion. So since it's a mitzvah derabim, the mitzvah derabim wins out. The mitzvah derabim defeats the issur. So then I mentioned this is one of the sources of Parshas Parah in Daraisa because the Rosh on that Gemara has a comment and he starts to figure out, wait a second, Daraisa is Rabbanim. The mitzvah of having a minion, when is a minion ever Daraisa? When do you ever need a minion on the Daraisa level? So he says, maybe you need a minyan on Daraisa level because I have to read Parshas Zachar or Parshas Parah. And that's the source for Parshas Parah, perhaps being Daraisa. That common Zachar, we know is Daraisa, it's possible in Parah. But or Parshas Parah, that's perhaps another source that Parshas Parah may or may not be Daraisa. And chances are it's not Daraisa, but that's the common. That's why this Gemara is important in that context. But over here, for our purposes, over here it doesn't seem to fit in very well with the Shita of the Bahad. Because what does the Bahad say? The Bahad is of the opinion that if someone dies in Yom Tov Sheni, so the mitzvah of Avelus is a mitzvah d'oraisa. The mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So the Avelus should beat out the mitzvah d'rabbanan. The Avelus of the Yachid should beat out the mitzvah, the Avelus, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa, even though it only applies to the Yachid, should beat out the Simchas Yom Tov, which is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, even though Simchas Yom Tov is not only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, it's also a mitzvah d'rabbanan. So it seems that the d'oraisa, according to the Bahad, the d'oraisa should always beat the d'rabbanan, even when it's an issue of a rabbin, even when the rabbanon is an issue of a rabbin. Now over here, in this Gemara in Brachos, you have the rights of the Olam Ben Tavodu, you have a mitzvah of the rabbin, but only the rabbanon, Pashtos, Liniyat Rosh Meir, only the rabbanon of having a minion, and yet we say, mitzvah of the rabbin shiny, that the mitzvah of the rabbanon, which is a mitzvah of rabbin, beats out the avelos, which is the right plan of the mitzvah of the yachid. That's the Kasha that Tosus points out, the Bahag doesn't fit in so well with this Gemara. I'm not going to go through all the ways to answer the Bahag because I do want to get to Rosh Hashanah. This is supposed to be Rosh Hashanah here. I do want to get through the Mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. But we'll leave it at this. There's a line of the Sefer Gittin which, for some inexplicable reason, I didn't put down on the sheet. I just wrote that number 12, line of Gittin. Whatever. There's a line of the Sefer Gittin, and the Sefer Gittin is a parallel figure to this Gemara in Brachos. Almost word for word, it just leaves out one step of the Gemara, and the Ran understands the Gemara to read as follows. The Ran understands that the Gemara is asking that the Isser of Lolaman Bavodu, in the Ran's view, is not that there's a separate Isser that you're not allowed to free a slave. The Ran understands that it's part of a larger mitzvah, part of a larger Isser Doraisa of Lo Sichanei. The Gemara Nabo Dazar calls this Lo Sichanei means three different things on the Doraisa level. So if you remember all of them, one of them is you're not allowed to give a gift to a guy. Right, that's Lo Sichanei. The other is you're not allowed to give land and Eretz Yisrael to a guy. So also an issue of Lo Sichanei. And the third issue of Lo Sichanei, all Doraisa, all learned from this passage, of Lo Sichanei is not to give a compliment to a guy. Those are the three certain Doraisa of Lo Sichanei. So says the Ran, what the Gemara was asking was, wait a second, how can you free him? I is Lo Sichanei. And what the Gemara's answer when it says the Dvar Mitzvah Shiny was not that because it's a mitzvah, it beats out the issue of Lo Sichanei. What is the issue of Lo Sichanei? Of giving something to a guy. Literally the words mean, Lo Sichanei Mo Matnas Chinam. Don't give him something for free. The whole issue, are you allowed to give a gift to the mailman around whatever so you can deliver the mail better? Are you allowed to give a gift to the sanitation workers so that they won't throw your garbage all over your front lawn? Right? Are you allowed to do these things? Certainly you are. Why? Because the entire issue of Lo Sichanei is only when you're doing it only for them and you get no benefit from it. But if you have ulterior motives and you're going to get some benefit from it, that's not including the issue of Lo Sichanei. By definition, that's simply not the issue of Lo Sichanei. That's why you're allowed to give it to the mailman and to the sanitation workers and to the colleagues in the office and everything else. Because you have ulterior motives. They're going to like you better. It's going to help you out. They're going to go that extra yard for you because you did that for them. They won't hate you in some circumstances. If you want to give them a gift, they would hate you. Right? So you have an ulterior motive. So says the Ran, the Gemara in the Sefer's Brachos and the Sefer's Gittin is asking, wait a second, how can you violate Lo Lamed Tavodu, which is just an outgrowth of Lo Sichanei? It's an Isser. So the Gemara says, no, this is about mitzvah shiny. Not because the mitzvah overpowers it, but simply that you haven't violated Lo Sichanei because the only reason you freed the Eved is because you wanted a minion for yourself. We have selfish motivation in freeing the Eved. That's the only reason you really freed the Eved. You wanted the mitzvah for yourself. So maybe there's no issue of Lo Sichanei. So now the sheet of the Baha'i is fine. But what do the Baha'i say? That whenever you have a mitzvah d'oraisa, it automatically beats the mitzvah d'rabbanan, even if the d'oraisa is a mitzvah d'yachid and the d'rabbanan is a mitzvah d'rabbin. So we have a problem, wait a second, but over here the minion, which was the d'rabbanan and the mitzvah d'rabbin, beat out the Olam Ben Tavodu, which was a mitzvah d'oraisa of the yachid. How could the d'rabbanan of minion beat out the d'oraisa of the Olam Ben Tavodu? So according to the Ran, it's not a kasha. It didn't beat out the Olam Ben Tavodu. It showed us that there was no issue of the Olam Ben Tavodu. Because you weren't giving him a matnas chinam. You weren't doing it for free, you weren't doing it for him, you were doing it for you. And that undermines the very issur. So there simply was not an issur here in the first place. That's why he was allowed to free the Eved. That's why he was allowed to free the Eved in order to make the minyan. The problem with the Mahalik of the Ran, without getting into too much detail, is that the way the Gemara is quoted in the Sefer Gittin, it fits very beautifully. The way that same story is quoted in the Sefer Brachos does not fit at all. So that's the difficulty with the Ran. Okay, but let's move on now. That's a general broad view just of simple Yom in general. You know, Ein Simcha Vavasa, certainly when the Beis HaMikdash was around, unambiguous, the only way you can miss a Simcha, Karbanos, right? Is Man Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, fundamental Machlokas, Rambam and Tosfos. Rambam holds, even when we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah of Simcha Yom Tov is the Oraisa, with whatever makes you happy. Tosfos says, no, without a Beis HaMikdash, there is no mitzvah of Simcha Yom Tov. Now, if we were to relate it on the right level, so if we were to relate this to Rosh Hashanah, so one could have said, I heard of a Sachs said this on the tape, in a shiur that he gave recently, one could have argued very simply. It's not mukra, but one could certainly argue the following logical presentation. According to Tosfos, the only time you ever have a mitzvah of Simcha d'oraisa is when you have aliyah l'regel. When you go to Yerushalayim, you bring the karbon, and that's when you have a mitzvah of Simcha d'oraisa. Absent that karbon, absent being all the red one, bringing the karbanos, you don't have a mitzvah of Simcha d'oraisa. That's why there's man hazeh, you don't have a Simcha d'oraisa. Now you have a mitzvah of Simcha d'oraisa. One could have argued that there never was a mitzvah of simple daraisa on Rosh Hashanah, according to Tosfos, because there's never aliyah l'regel. There's no chiyuv of aliyah l'regel on Rosh Hashanah. So there is no you going to your shrine, every Jew going to your shrine and bringing their karban and being the kind of mitzvah of simcha. Absent aliyah l'regel, absent the karban, there is no simple daraisa, according to Tosfos. So one could have said, and may be able to say, to suggest, that according to Tosfos, the mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah, if it exists, could at most only be mitzvah simcha the Rabbanim. There's according to the Rambam, it could logically fit that since the Rambam holds even Bizman Hazeh on the Shalosh Regalim, we have a mitzvah simcha Bizman Hazeh, right? So even Bizman Hazeh on the Shalosh Regalim, absent Aliyah L'Regel, absent Kabbanos, we still have a mitzvah simcha D'Oraisa. So one could have argued according to the Rambam, even absent Aliyah L'Regel, which Rosh Hashanah does not have Aliyah L'Regel, does not have a problem that each and every Jew brings to fulfill the mitzvah of simcha, nevertheless, there could still be a kiyum or a kiyum of simcha d'oraisa right on the Torah level, there could still be a mitzvah of simcha in the Rambam's view. That's a logical argument that can be made. But let's actually take a look at sources about Rosh Hashanah itself. The primary source is the Gemara of Sakhzeritim. The Gemara discusses whether you say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah or not. Or not whether you say Hallel, but why you don't say Hallel in Rosh Hashanah. And the Gemara asks, the Gemara basically, it's a long sugya where the Gemara comes to the basic conclusion that any time something is called a moed and there's nisr malacha, so you say Hallel. Whenever it's called a moed, it's called the Yom Tov, and there's no malacha, you should say Hallel, which leaves the Gemara with the question, wait a second, then what about Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is a moed, and now I do malacha in Rosh Hashanah. Why no Hallel? So if you look toward the end of source number 16, fascinating Gemara. Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim, the Ikru Moed, the Ikru Shpatiyas Malacha Lema, on Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur, which is a Moed, and you're not allowed to do Malacha, you should say Hallel. So my answer is Mishum Rabbi Avohu. Then Rabbi Avohu, the reason why we don't say Hallel is because of what Rabbi Avohu taught us, which was a Salus. Amru Malachi Asharei Tatnei Chodesh Barthi. Malachi Asharei Tatnei Ribon Shalom. Ribon Shalom. Mebnei Ma'in Yisrael Amun Shiru V'Nechav Rosh Hashanah v'Yom HaKippurim. Not our Kasha? The Malach may ask the Kasha. So, you know, sometimes you're Mechavim to the Gemara, you're Mechavim even better if you ask the Kasha, right? You're Mechavim to the Malach. Malach may ask the Ribbon Shalom, why is Klal Yisrael not saying Shiru at this time? And so, Amar Lahen, how does the Ribbon Shalom respond? This is, again, not just Gemara answering, the Ribbon Shalom answering. Efshar Melech Yoshev al Kisei Adin. The Melech is going to be sitting on the Kisei Adin. The Sifrei Chayim, the Sifrei Noisim, Sukh in the front of him, the Book of Life, the Book of Death, open in front of him. Look at what's at stake on this day. The soul of Shira, the fun of it. They're going to say Shira. Shira is a reflection of Simcha, right? So the Gemara's premise at the beginning is Kala was obviously a reflection of Simcha, right? So the Gemara's saying, well, we should do it in Rosh Hashanah. The question is, how do you understand the Maskana of the Gemara? Certainly, the Havmin of the Gemara is clearly assuming Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is a Simcha, and that's why they should have Kala. Because Kala is an expression of Simcha. Well, what does the Gemara answer? Does the Gemara answer that no, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not days of Simcha, they're days of Din. Din is different than Simcha. And that's why there's no Hallel? Or is the Gemara answering no? Yes, there's an Indian of Simcha in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but because there's also an additional element of Din, besides for the mitzvah of Simcha, the Din takes away the Hallel. Meaning, is the Maskana HaGemara, you can still argue in both ways. The Maskana HaGemara may be that because it's Din precludes Simcha, and therefore there is no Simcha in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or you could argue no, that even though there's Simcha, there's an additional element of Din, and because of that additional element of Din that comes in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's why we don't say Hallel. Now, the Rambam, the Pirush Mishnah, uses a slightly stronger lashon. The Rambam in Perush Mishnah says we don't say Hallel to Sheim Kor and Hallel Lo Rosh Hashanah Lo Yom Kippurim. Source number 17. Lefi Sheim Yimei, defining what the day is about. Now the Rambam's not just talking about what happens on these days; he's defining the day. Lefi Sheim Yimei Tfilo VaHachna Lefnei Hashem VYirah Imenu. These are days of tefillah and humbling ourselves in front of God and fearing Him. And this is the time when we run to Him with tshuva and with prayer and asking for mechila. Key word, lismoach l'sayis. It's not proper on these days, lismoach, the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnah. Rambam seems to be understanding that the Gemara concludes that din means no simcha. There is no need of simcha on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. Problem is, the Rambam doesn't really say that everywhere. The Rambam is Hilchos Megillah and Kavanah, and I will grant you, it's not necessarily so, so good. So this is, right, meaning the question is basically that if it is Tzila of the Hakna'ah, good. Right. So assuming, right, the Rambam sounds like, in at least the version of science, sounds like it's talking about Simcha in terms of partying, enjoying, celebration, whatever, right? And that's what he seems to be precluding. So let's see, and that's going to be the upshot of everything. So let's see, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah, the Chanukah, right, that talks about the mitzvah of Hallel, when we read Hallel, and he says that you read Hallel, you look at the second line of the source 18, Zayn Elohim, Shemona Semeachad, Shemona Semeachanukah, Rishon Shel Pesach, Yom Aseret, Aval, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaKippurim, Ein Ben Hallel, Lefi Shein Yimei Tshuva, V'yira, U'pachad, Lo Yimei Simcha, Yeseira, keyword. Right? These are days of Yira, Pachad, and he says, and that excludes, that precludes, days of, if it's Yira Pachad, it's not Simcha, but it doesn't just say it's not Simcha. It quotes in the name of Chaim, that this is a deal for Chaim, that you don't have to be Rav Chaim to make this deal. The Rambam doesn't say, Lo Yimei Simcha, the Rambam says, Lo Yimei Simcha, Yeseira. So the Rambam apparently is already struggling with this issue. Like, yeah, on the one hand, it's a day of Simcha for the fiancé. On the other hand, it's Pachad, it's Din, it's fear, it's worrying about what's going to be. Right? It's everything all at the same time. That Simcha, so you temper the Simcha and it's not simply a Seira, but the Simcha still has to be there. So exactly how do we understand the nature of the Simcha is still not 100% clear from this Rambam. And as I mentioned, I believe in the Shir on Shabbos, the most, perhaps one of the more well-known sources about Rosh Hashanah and about our general mood and demeanor entering Rosh Hashanah, is the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Korban Tzur. Talmud Yerushalmi writes, I'm Rabbi Simon, Siv, Mi Gadol Gadol Hashem Al Chutz Mishpat and Tzadik Megover. What does it mean, Mi Gadol Gadol Mi Kamchi? You saw what's the greatest kiyum of look how different Klal Yisrael is from everyone else? Rabbi Chanan, Rabbi Chanin, Rabbi Hoshea, Kadam, Arezu, Uma, Kuma, Azos, what other nation is like this nation? But no, it's Shabbat Olam normally, up in the other years of Din, a person knows he has a Din coming up, Lovei Shchorim, he dresses in black, and with Sadri Shchorim, he wraps himself in black, and with Gazel Zikro, he grows his beard, he doesn't shave, She'im no Yodea, Hikti no Yosef, because he's nervous and he's worried how his Din is going to come out. Aval Yisrael Einon Kein, but Klal Yisrael is not that way. Elo Lov Shem Leveinim, Lo Mesatzim Leveinim, Lo Megalkim Ziknam, Va'olchim B'shosin, and I underlined it, Usmechim! Klal Yisrael is not that way. We get dressed in nice clothing, we shave, we eat, we drink, and we misameach. Yosef Shachar's work also in Nisim, with the full knowledge that the Rebbe is to make Nisim for us and help us out on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. So again, here you see that concept. On the one hand, the Rambam tells us not simply Yisera. In a different context, he tells us not things of Ein Reb, Machot, and Kehlem, Lismoach. And on the other hand, we have the Talmud Yerushalmi, which says, Olchim Shosim Usmechim, clearly indicating that it is Simcha. Again, this idea of tempered Simcha, again, comes to a head in these descriptions of the general mood of the day. But the truth is, if we have more time, we're not going to be able to go into all of it. There are many areas of Halakha where you see this conflict as well. The Rush quotes, the long passage in Rush, I'm not going to read it, the Rush quotes, Machlokas amongst the early Rishonim about whether one should include in the prayers in the Tzilos on the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur whether you should say the Hasiyenu, whether you should refer to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as the made Simcha in the Tzilos itself, right? Should you say it's on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Now, obviously, part of the issue is how much do we emphasize the Simcha, at least publicly, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? That's obviously going to be a major part of the issue that the Rush deals with. It's a long rush, and it's a worthwhile rush, but we simply don't have time for it right now. The Ran in Rosh Hashanah also quotes another liturgical example of this particular conflict they have between Simcha on the one hand and Aim of and Pachan on the other hand. And he discusses on Rosh Hashanah, Shekhali Yat Shabbos, do you say Tzitkasta? Right? Do you say the Tzitkasta that you say normally as Shabbos Mincha? So with the Rambam writes that any day that you have Hallel, you don't say tzidkaska. Meaning any day that has a sense of simcha, you shouldn't say tzidkaska. So what about Rosh Hashanah? So if you look at the underlying section, right, the actual time, you should be kivan the Rosh Hashanah ikos simcha. Since in Rosh Hashanah, there is this element of simcha, the achil of the shtiyah, with eating and drinking. Kishayim and tovim, lo aminim beit tzidkaska. That's why we don't say tzidkaska. But the Ran is one of the only Rishonim I know about that makes this clear. He says that that's Rosh Hashanah. I will be on Kippurim, Kimchi Shuhu Yom Inui, Omrimo. So he says, yeah, when we experience Simcha, and Rosh Hashanah. Yom Kippur, there's no mitzvah Simcha. But again, you see this struggle. How do we use the day of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur for that matter? Are these days of Simcha, or are these days of Ema, Tata, Yira, etc.? Magen Avraham writes that an Avel doesn't daven on Yom Yorayim because it's been like a regal, again reflecting that same sense of Simcha. The Rambam writes that, this is a key Rambam also. The Rambam writes that, Rambam writes in source number 23, Shiva Simeah Pesach, Ushmore Simeah Chad, Im Sha'ar Yomim Tovim, Kulam Asunim Behas of the Tanit, which Yom Tovim? Pesach, Sukkot, and all the other Yomim Tovim, you're not allowed to do Heskim and Tanit, the Chayyab of the Riyasim Sameach, the Tov Reif, who banish his children every day, so we call him those Mela. And everyone has to be happy, everyone has to be joyous on those days. Right? This is the Rambam that it doesn't get it, alright? So Shnei Rambam Samach B'Chagetha. The Fas says it's Samach B'Chagetha. So what do you see? What's the Rambam saying? When do you have a mitzvah Simcha Yantar? So clearly Pesach, he says it says the Seirish, clearly Sukkot. What does he mean? Shar Yom and Tovim. So what could he possibly be talking about? Shavuot? That's one other Yom Tov. Put Shar Yom and Tovim in the plural. So the Rambam again, probably emphasizing that there's an Indian of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. There aren't any other Yom Kippur that he could possibly be referring to besides for Shavuot and maybe Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What else might he be referring to? Why doesn't he say it to Feirish? So one could argue maybe that he's conscious of this, he's consciously not explicitly pointing on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur because of this conflict that you have between the Simcha and the Eim of Pachad Yira, etc. Right, the Ran is Mechali, mostly Mishonim only. That's one. Well, Shabbos is not Mitzvah of Simcha.
But then,
Yom
Kippur is compared to Shabbos. It's not compared to Yom Kippur.
Ah, so you're saying that there shouldn't be Simcha. It's only a dependent thing. It's something else. It's something else entirely. Okay, that could be what the Ran is telling. But most of the Mishonim do put them, they pile them together. They assume that the general mood of the Yimei Hadin is the same from one to the other. It's just the halachas change a little bit. So one approach to answer all of this, to answer this whole stira and everything that's going on over here, one approach that's offered, I saw it offered in a number of different svarim. Nevinsal has it. I saw it in Rav Eliel Lapian in Sefer, I forgot what it's called. I just saw the publication of it today. In the chance to read the Mar, he quotes that the Saba Mikelem offered this approach, and this is the standard approach, I think, which you may find unsatisfying. I personally also find it somewhat unsatisfying. Saba Mikelem says, there's Simcha on the one end, there's Pachad and Din on the other end. He says, no problem, I'll tell you why. He says, because Ba'okin Klali, on a Betukum Shanei Zakai. On a Klal level, we're sure Klal Yisrael is going to make it. Klal Yisrael is going to be okay. That's where we have to be covering that Klal Yisrael for two after the dinner can be okay. I will call Yachid the Yachid. Sarek was kind of same as Yachid. But each and every Yachid, each and every individual, we have to worry. It's not so you can't have that same discussion on an individual level. So the Simcha that you feel is on the Klal level. The Din, the Ema that you feel, is on the personal level. Right? That's what the Saba Mikelem suggests. So that's Rav Eliel Lapian, he says it doesn't make any sense. What do you mean? The cloud was made up of many yechidim. What can you say that on a cloud level you're sure things will be okay, but every yachid thinks nothing's going to be okay? If every yachid has nothing okay, then the cloud level is bad. Right? If the cloud was made up of a number of yechidim. So that kasha doesn't bother us so much because Rav Eliel Lapian himself points out that we're not saying that on a cloud level that the members of Klal Yisrael will be okay, but the individuals of Klal Yisrael will not be okay. That's not what we're saying. He says, no, the issues that pertain to the cloud are what we have bitachon in. Personal issues in my own life that don't pertain to the cloud, that's where my aim of the tachad, you know, ayom v'nor of the din, that's where I'm feeling that trepidation, that awe, that fear, that anxiety entering the unknown. That's one approach to talking. The problem is you'd like to see a riot for them. I mean, If it's a din in klal versus yachid, you'd like to see that this idea of din and ema mofia in, you know, certain areas that relate to the klal, and you'd like to see the issue of simcha specifically come up in areas that relate only to the yachid. You don't really find dryas for that question. But the
betuchin, the
confidence that you have, right, exactly, so it's a serious thing, it doesn't work at all. Adrabah, if the simcha is a cloud simcha, so why are all the issues of simcha that we reflect personal smachot? Yeah, as I mentioned, it doesn't, the idea of betuchin in the cloud is a nice idea, it just doesn't seem to fit with all the marmukhamos. I mean, it doesn't seem that there's anything, in general, when you say such a chakira, and you say, well, there's tzvei dinim, there's a din of the cloud, a din of the yachid, and Shem Shabashuv will talk about something else that has a din of a cloud and a din of the yachid, and we'll have riots for that. And you need riots for that. If you make up tzvei dinim, right, the derech is, you have to have riots in halacha that show that it's correct. So it doesn't seem that that's the most satisfying answer. The correct answer seems to be, based on what we started the shiur with, and I think the best way to express it is the way Rav Ben Yona does in the Sekhus Brachos. Fascinating, Rav Ben Yona, when we did the daf, I think this was the only time since we started the daf Yomi that I actually asked everyone in the daf to turn to the back to the Rav Ben Yona, because this was one of my favorite Rav Ben Yonas there aren't any Rav Ben Yonas shot in Brachos, but one of my favorite passages in Rishonim and all the shots that I've seen so far. Says Rav Ben Yona, first on the 26th. The Gilu Bira'adah, the Makam Gila, Shatei Ra'adah. And you see, it's even the Pasuk itself. Gilu, right, you should celebrate. Bira'adah with quaking and fear. Right, so how do the two fit together? So he says, Tamadah, the logic is as follows. Kidei Shalom Yimashet Mikos HaSimcha, Yitanudei Ha'olam, so that a person should not be drawn in to the enjoyments of this world. The Yishkach in Yanei HaBore, and forgetting about the Rebbe Shalom, Al-Kain Sarek Wa'ardei Ze'im Ze'. You need to mix one with the other. The simcha has to be mixed with a level of trepidation. Kidei Shehiya Al-Akab HaMemutza, in order to stay on that straight path. U'pashti Tepakafu, that's what the Pasuk is telling me. She'afal Tisheitzo Pasuk V'dam. Even though normally when it comes to a human being, Ha'yir about simcha in Dover Ve'Fecho, Yir and simcha, two opposites, they're in Congress, they don't fit together. She'vishasha Adam Michad, Mizulato, who only Mirka V'doing, about his birthday, then it came. But the Pachal, it has to be so careful. Now when a person is Pachal Mizulato, I mean, I can't. When a person is Pachal Mizulato, when a person is afraid of someone else, he's only Mirka V'doing, he's sitting there, he's worried, he's nervous, he can't calm his mind, he's anything but the Shamea. But when it comes to our fear of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the opposite is true. When we're fearful of a person, there's no simcha when we see the person. When we're fearful of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, adrava. Kisha Adam is born in the Gadluso, the Yerem Yipanot. When a person thinks about the Gadlus, Malchus of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, what's Rosh Hashanah all about? A person thinks of the Gadlus of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he's in fear. Yismat Miyogil Be'olso Yira. The fear doesn't cause him to shy away. The fear doesn't cause him to lose himself. The fear causes him to be happy and joyous. It's the greatest type of fear in the world. Like one of my rabbis used to say that when he saw Rav Moshe Feinstein, he said it was the smallest he ever felt in his entire life. But he said it was the greatest small feeling he could ever have. Right? So caveat, when you see the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you're close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's yira, it's pachad. But that yira and pachad and that closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam is exactly what gives you that simcha. That's also going to be a typo. Rabbi Mitzvah Shabbat to Isra must be Mitzvah L'Kayim HaMitzvot. That through that relationship with the Rosh Hashanah, that's what causes you to want to be L'Kayim the Mitzvot. The Sassi knows the Kiyum HaShayah there, Kishkar Elito, Ubulot HaLefanav. You know that this is the right way. This is what's going to get me what I want. This is what life is all about. That's what being with L'Kayim Hashem is. Why is that equation true that we started with Nei Hashem equals Simcha? Because intuitively it's true. When a person does the right thing, when a person gets closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they increase their Avodas Hashem, and they're better at their Avodas Hashem, that creates the greatest sense of Simcha that a person will ever feel in his entire life. So yes, Rosh Hashanah is a day of Simcha. But it's not simply a Seva in the sense that, what does the Rambam mean when it says that? In the sense that you don't get carried away. Because on Rosh Hashanah you have to make sure that the simcha is an exact reflection of Hiskarvus with Hashem. It's a reflection of recognizing the mouthpiece of Hashem. So you have this duality of Rosh Hashanah, but in truth, it's not a duality at all. It's not a conflict at all. They fit hand in hand, one with the other. The simcha and the pachad are all the same. The simcha is an outgrowth of the pachad that you're supposed to feel on Rosh Hashanah. Because you have the pachad, you're able to have the simcha. In a couple more minutes, I'll just mention that this duality of Rosh Hashanah is reflected in the Tekiyah Shofar itself. Right, the mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. Right, on the one hand, we say, Tikkun B'Shofar Gadol, right, that it's a great joyous event. On the other hand, Yom Yivavi Yilachem, is the day of crying, and the shofar mimics the cries of the child. We have both expressed within the tefillah, within the Tekiyah Shofar itself, and Tekiyah Shofar has an element of tefillah within it. Why does Tekiyah Shofar express both Yivava, the crying, as well as Tikkun B'Shofar Gadol, as well as the Simcha? Because Tekiyah Shofar, the rabbi, the whole Nagashim, maybe we'll have time on a different occasion to discuss this. Tekiyah Shofar is an Indian of Tefillah. Tefillah, by definition, means Anigal Lefnei Hashem. Right? Tefillah is standing in front of God. That's Reb Chaim, the very beginning of the Sefer. Reb Chaim writes that if you don't even realize you're standing in front of God when you're davening, you could be saying all the words. If you don't realize you're standing in front of God, it's simply not a Tefillah. It's not that that's called the Tefillah Shalom B'Kavanah. The Kavanah Chaim says, if you know you're standing in front of God, you're not concentrating on the word. If you don't even realize you're standing in front of God, it's simply not called the Tefillah. The definition of Tefillah is being only B'fnei Hashem. Why do we blow shofar of all the mitzvot? In the middle of Shemona Esrei, we're not going to do it in this shul, but in many shuls, in the middle of the silent Shemona Esrei, if you take out a rule, and that's in the middle of silent Shemona Esrei, you build this meal for Sajjah, Tzedakah, any other mitzvah in the world, you're masked in the middle of Shemona Esrei to do, but says the Rav, no, because the Tekiyah Shofar itself is a form of tefillah. And because it's a form of tefillah, because it's a reflection of being only the fashion, that's why it has this duality. That's why you have the pachad expressed in Tekiyah Shofar, and you also have the simcha expressed in Tekiyah Shofar, because both go hand in hand, and one is only the fashion.